Hi.
Blog Talk this Radio.
Hi, this is Jeanette. I want to thank you for joining me here for a follow-up show as we are here live at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to apologize as I had a lot of things going on. I'm normally not on Tuesdays at this time of night, so bear with me. But I do want to thank all of the callers that are already on the line listening and ready to go. Now, today we are basically doing a follow-up show in regards to, is justice really for all? And as I indicated yesterday, we know when it comes to the criminal justice system, one must question, is justice really for all? This is a question that would vary from individual to individual based on their experience, race, cultural, social, economic status. As we know, in America, we see that the justice system is blind. It is supposed to be fairly administered to all and equal to all, but as I was getting more information today for the show, I found a whole lot of other information. So I'm going to start logging on the callers as we are going to be talking about, is justice really for all? Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate it. So I want to first introduce Crystal to our show because she was the one that basically was on the line with us last night as this show is in regards to her son and her situation. Crystal, share with the listeners what's going on, and we're going to start talking because this line is already blowing up again.
Okay. Thank you again, Jeanette, for having me and for doing a part two. You expressed the overwhelming amount of response from yesterday's show. However, my son, Christopher Stone, was arrested February 2017 for murder, a crime that happened in 2014. I stated yesterday that he went in to see his parole officer, and he was then taken down to the 76th precinct in Los Angeles. We currently lived in the Inland Empire. And from there, they didn't allow me to see my son. I was not allowed, he wasn't allowed to call. And they told me it was a special case, and I couldn't speak with him. I couldn't see him. They transferred him to the county. At that time, I was actually going into the jail for my work purposes, and I still couldn't see him. So a week later, I was able to talk to him, and like I shared yesterday, I received the call that no mother wants to hear when it's regarding their son. And he told me the charges were murder. And then I began to sought out an attorney. And here we are today. I couldn't afford the attorney, like I said on yesterday. So we had to let the paid attorney go. And we were appointed a state-appointed attorney. He did not defend Christopher. Christopher is 26 years old, African-American young man, and he has four daughters, a host of friends and families. And what comes with that is a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy, and a lot of haters. And I say haters lightly. The Bible talks about haters. Even Jesus had them. So don't misconstrue what I say when I say that. They don't mean you any good is what I mean. And so I'm sure they're listening in as well, and I'm mindful of that. So that's where we stand today. Yesterday there was a lot of good information. I appreciate you so much, Jeanette. I got three emails today from listeners that has organizations.
Wow.
Some of the things that we didn't get to cover on yesterday, we have started the petition. The petition is already going forth. We have wrote into the conviction review request of Los Angeles District Attorney Wrongful Conviction Unit. We sent that paperwork in on last week. The website has been created. There is a place where you can read his story, a portion of his story. My youngest daughter has been on Channel 4 News 2 weeks ago, and then the fundraisers and stuff. So we're all the things that you were saying. I didn't get a chance to say that yesterday, and so I did want to point that out today, just so listeners can know that we're not just right here not doing anything. However, we do still need assistance and support, and for other families and mothers and that are going through this same struggle.
Got you. And you know what, Crystal, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's interesting because, you know, I had to get somebody to cover my group today because I normally do a male batterers intervention group on Tuesdays, and that's why I was running kind of late. And my clients was like, can we be on the radio? Can we talk? Because as we're talking about this, and today's, even with my domestic violence group, the topic was how violence affects your life. And a lot of times we minimize, we don't understand the system. So part of this is about changing individuals' perception. Because the first thing a person to say is, well, what did this person do? But a lot of times it's not even what they did. I have another lady I'm going to join on the call because I got to find her if she called yet. But she was sharing with me. She sent me an email, and she's a minister in ministry. And she said that basically her nephew was murdered, and the person that killed her nephew was acquitted, and he was Caucasian, but he was rich. And they acquitted him. Now, when we start talking about is justice really for all, you know, my daughter was giving me information. I was looking up stuff. I was talking about the Stand Your Ground cases. But one of the things, it starts with basically how we view violence in our community. And when individuals stand together, and I'm so glad, Crystal, that I was able to do this, and people are reaching out because I want to thank my loyal listeners because I know that I have people listening, which I didn't tell you. Sometimes it shows up in like 3 or 4 different countries. So I do have a very large listening audience, and I don't take that for granted. So whenever I can develop a platform, that's why I let God use me. So let me start logging people on because, again, these lines are blowing up. So let me start with the first one that called in, and the number ends in 9801. Is there anything you want to add to this topic tonight before we get started with resources?
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay, let me log on the next one. Okay, the number is in 2476. Anything you want to add to this topic? Okay, they're not saying anything. Okay, let me go on down the line because I got so many calls on here. It's ridiculous. Okay, the number is in 0206. Anything you want to add to this topic?
No, I spoke yesterday. I just really just want all the support we can to get my cousin home. That's it.
Gotcha.
I'm calling again from Houston, Texas.
Got you. And I want to say this. In regards to the callers that are calling in, you can listen to the show live by either clicking on the link, going to my Facebook page, our Christmas Facebook page, and clicking. Because what happens is if we tie up the line, the individuals won't be able to call in. So there are other ways of listening to the show. So the next caller is 5984. Is there anything you want to share regarding this topic?
Yes, this is Ebony. And
okay.
I really just want to say I spoke with Christopher today, and he wants me to thank you and also thank his mom and everybody that's been logging in, calling in. And he said he appreciated everybody. He don't know how he would repay y'all for this. And he loves everybody, and he just appreciates everything.
Well, you let Christopher know. He may not know me, but I do know his family members because I grew up in the neighborhood with the guys. So just let him know that I said he is more than welcome, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me log on the next person. It is 1750. Is there anything you want to share or add to the show?
Yes. My name is Brenda Walton, And I'm calling in basically to support the family and Christopher, because I did watch him grow up. And this violence is so unjust in every way. It just didn't start. But I'm so proud of the family for supporting and not letting it pass by us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let me add on the next caller. The number is in 4605.
Hi, this is Mika. I'm from Texas. I'm just calling for support. I don't know how to listen online.
No problem. Okay, let me log on the next caller, because like I said, I know it's on my page, it's on Crystal's page. Are you, if you have internet on your phone or if you have access to an internet, you can either Google Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, or like I said, you just click and you just, there's some arrows down at the bottom, it'll take you straight to the show. Okay, let me log on another caller, phone ending in 0998. Is there anything you want to add to the show?
Hi, my name is Doris. And I'm a friend of Crystal's, but I recently had the same experience with my son, who is now incarcerated in Corcoran State Penitentiary. Yes, he did commit the crime, but the crime that he had never been convicted before in his life, and the sentence that they gave him was 12 years at the minimum. They ended up giving him 8 years with two strikes. Since he's been there, he has been violently beaten, and he's recently had to have surgery on his liver due to the beating, and he has been placed in the SHOOT program for 4 months without any contact with the family. I've called several times to the prison, left several messages, and I cannot get a response on the whereabouts to my son. So somehow or another, they decided to release him, and I have talked to him, but he's saying that it's very rough in there and very racial. I was listening to the news the other night about the young man from the hills, and he would come out in nighttime and gangbang in Compton in the South Central area and go back to school and crawl in his window and go back home and be regular in the daytime. However, he crawled out one night and took these guys to commit a drive-by, and they were caught and arrested. However, yesterday he was acquitted with charges dropped and with no consequences to being a conspiracy to the murders of the drive-by.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's something that we really need to, you know, I wanted to say at first, you know, write the warden. A lot of times people don't realize when your child is incarcerated, there's certain things because they have rights even when they're in prison, and a lot of times they get violated because people don't understand their own rights, even their constitutional rights. And when individuals and parents start speaking up, saying, no, you're not going to just treat my kid any kind of way. And that's how things change. Like I said, changes people's perceptions of the way they view non-white men and people of color.
Yes.
Because it is out of control, especially the way people are treated within the criminal justice system. And we say it's for rehabilitation, but when you take a young man or a young lady and they've never been, and they wasn't raised like that, and you place them in an institution, they don't know how to adapt to the prison politics and things of that nature. And it's a whole different culture, whole different culture.
Yes, it is. It's a whole different culture. I also work in with the system, the county system, and I also provide services to the women inmates.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come across several situations where women are being, at 60 years old, are being given 14 years and never provided treatment for substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had many of DUIs and never have they been given any opportunity to have services of treatment. And but the other races are given the opportunity to have drug court and be conditionally released from the jail to go to the program and given multiple opportunities to continue to violate and never go to prison.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was doing some research, and my daughter brought it to my attention because my daughter works for the sheriff department, and she was giving me some information, and we were, you know, brainstorming in regards to this, and we were looking at something in regards to a daycare provider who hung a toddler was given probation. And I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. And this daycare provider admitted trying to hang a toddler in her care, and she faced her sentence, and it was only 10 years of probation. But in addition to that, she ran over two other people and then said that it was because she was mentally ill and was suffering from domestic violence at the hands of her husband. But when we start talking about do the sentence fit the crime, and in most cases it don't. Now, when we start talking about the criminal justice system, there's also racism within our country and racism within the criminal justice system. And that is also a big crime because they indicate that one out of every African-American male born this decade can expect to go to prison in his lifetime, despite the fact that the Census Bureau reports that there's only 13%. But the problem is it is a high number when we talk about, you know, is 61% African-American, 17% pretty much the Latinos. Now, when we start talking about even, you know, civil rights acts and some of the discriminatory acts that happens is we talked about police stops. We know that more people of color is stopped by the police, more police searches. There are more police use of force during arrest. I could bring up just the mere fact of what just happened in Sacramento when they had the situation mm-hmm. with the two sisters that were stabbed. And they were stabbed while sitting at the train station in Sacramento where a Caucasian male stabbed them and killed them, but then they said there was a peaceful arrest. And when I was talking to my daughter about that, she said that they feel that they fear for their safety when it is a non-white male. But how are you going to fear for your safety of a person that you know just committed a murder? Now,
they said it was a peaceful arrest after he had just committed cutting two African-American women.
Yes, yes, but it was a peaceful arrest. Okay, and then you got juvenile.
Wow.
We find out that black youth are twice as likely to be arrested for crimes in school as white kids. Over 2.5 times are likely to be arrested for curfew violations as Caucasian kids, and twice as likely as Caucasian kids to be arrested for all crimes. We got arrests in transgender community, arrests for drugs, police arrests for marijuana, pretrial releases, prosecution charges, prison versus community service. We know that there's a discriminatory act in regards to that. The length of incarceration is getting out of control. State drug incarceration, federal drug convictions, and federal court sentencing and incarceration of women. And sentencing to life without parole. And there's another thing that we're discriminatory against is hiring people with criminal records. So we're finding a lot of things are happening, and it definitely needs to change. Now, there's another person on hold. Let me log this person on.
I want to thank you for allowing me to share my story with you, and I am here to support Crystal and her family, and I thank you for all the support that you're giving in the media. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, I'm just
going to
call her. Caller's number is 8690. Is there anything you want to share in regards to this topic? Okay, they didn't say anything. Let me log on the next caller. Phone number is ending in 2476. Let me log this person on. Is there anything you want to share in regards to this topic?
Yes, my name is Bobby Relaford, and I was on the show yesterday. And I just want to everybody support the family, join the family, and everyone. I just want everybody to pay attention to not the due processing, but the ineffective systems of counsel and the suppression. Because of simple facts, those are the lawyers.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
I don't know if that was good. If you can please mute your phone. Whoever is on the call,
if you can please mute your phone and be respectful to the person that is speaking. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that person just hung up. So like I said, when we start talking about this and changing the perception, part of this, and we gave a lot of information in regards to how we can go about changing laws, changing policies, writing letters, things of that nature, because things do have to change. And a lot of times individuals become intimidated by and within the criminal justice system. And you can't do anything when you're afraid. And like I said, there's unity in numbers. Now, Krista, you shared some information yesterday as far as the peaceful protest that you're having. Can you share with
yes.
the listeners what it's about and date and time?
Basically, Thursday, starting around 9 o'clock, Christopher is due in court. They're going for sentencing. However, we are he's going to waive his sentencing as long as we can. And so the rally, the peaceful rally and prayer circle will be not so much around in front of the courthouse, but more closer to the mayor's office. Just
mm-hmm.
to come together in unity and peace. This has no disrespect to the family members of the victim. This is to come together on behalf of other families and Christopher at
mm-hmm.
this particular point. And so that will take place at the Compton Courthouse, which is 200 Compton Boulevard in the city of Compton, California. We do have
mm-hmm.
T-shirts. Again, the young men, there will be prayer going forth, like I said, as well. And
mm-hmm.
that's just the first rally.
Correct. And you know, Crystal, I want to speak on something because you and I had this conversation when you said no disrespect to the victim. This is not to disrespect the victim because we are aware that a family has lost someone, a loved one. We know that. We get that. But
right.
by that same token, we want to make sure that the person that is responsible for the crime do get arrested for the crime and not an innocent person. Because one of the things one of the callers said, we don't know if it's a setup. We don't know what went down. And that's where police need to do more in regards to investigating those facts before you rush
mm-hmm.
to judgment. And that's what happens when innocent individuals are wrongfully convicted. And a lot of times they don't know what to do. Because we've seen it with the mentally ill. We've seen it with homeless individuals. When they can't find somebody to pin it on, we go pin it on so-and-so. And that's where it becomes unfair. And, I mean, your family, my family, we all have also been on the other end where we've had family members that was murdered. So we know what that feels like. But by that
right.
same token, the message today here is don't ruin a person's life without a fair trial. Now, we have another caller on the line, and the number ends in 0747. Is there anything you want to add to the show? Okay, just called in, logged on. Last four numbers, 0747. I'm going to say not being funny because I know myself. I don't even – somebody asked me the other day what's my home number, and I don't even know it, so – I'm calling these numbers on as I'm seeing them on the switchboard, so hopefully you guys know your numbers. If you have anything you want to say, because what we don't want to do is talk all over each other. So, like
yeah.
I said, let's be respectful one at a time, because this is to encourage, this is to educate, this is to offer information and support. And I hope out there, and, you know, and I'm glad to hear, Crystal, that someone has reached out to you by email. Because I did put the information out, and sometimes you never know. You never know. And that's why when we talk about racism and discrimination, we don't ever want to say all. We don't want to say all people this, all people that, because there are some good people out there. There are some
mm-hmm.
good people, because God is placing people in positions for a reason, that are being employed. And, yes, their journey may be difficult. They may have to be the one to stand up and say, no, not today. But by that same token, we want more individuals to do the right thing no matter what. And that's one of the issues that a lot of individuals are facing, especially those that are employed, and they're seeing these things happening and with the injustice to people. Now, let me log on another caller. And the number ends in 1263. Is there something you want to share or add to this conversation?
Yes, this is Joshua. I was just wanted to speak upon the fact of trying the cases together, which, in Christopher's situation, they tried basically two separate incidents in one incident. So I just wanted to speak. I feel like that, you know, that was like a criminal, should I say. Like it was unfair and just railroad. That's mm-hmm. what I feel like. And I feel like they should do something about that.
You're absolutely right, Notch, and I thank you for bringing that point up. I can't think of everything. And he's absolutely right. And what he's speaking of is that there is a co-defendant associated to this matter, and so they would not separate his case. They would not lower the bail. They had it from the word go at $1 million, and then I think they increased it to $2 million. And then they still would not separate the case. And so
gotcha.
There was a lot going on with this other person and his cases. Mm-hmm. And then they tied it all in. It was so well orchestrated, I must say, how they tied it in. And so mm-hmm. if I'm a jury and I come into a court situation and you present all this to me and you have two young African-American men sitting there, mm-hmm. you really don't distinguish what's what.
Correct.
However, it's a lot going on. And correct. So with that being said, that there was this picture painted. And so they didn't separate the case.
Gotcha.
And you because they didn't have any evidence. And so,
gotcha.
Therefore, why not? How best to put two young black men away if I don't have evidence or concrete evidence on either one at that point? I'm going to loop all this together, and then I'm going to present the jury with this. And that was the package
gotcha.
They presented.
And you know what, and Crystal, and in all fairness, because I don't know all the details of the case because I never asked you the details of the case. So, and you know that I'm very well acclimated when it comes to understanding the criminal justice system. So, like I said, all the details I don't know, but if you do want to talk to me afterwards, I can sit down. Like I said, I'm not an attorney, but I am very well educated when it comes to these matters because I hear what you're saying. And
okay.
I don't know, my last husband, he basically served 25 years in the state of Washington, Oregon for a crime he didn't commit. And they didn't overturn his conviction until after he served his time. And they knew they acquitted him of murder, but yet they tried to charge him with other charges. So I pretty much understand, like I said, the way it works with individuals trying to go up before parole, the parole board, you know, all of that when you're talking about the Department of Corrections. So let me log in the next caller, and the number's in 3838. Is there anything you want to add to this conversation?
Good evening, ma'am. Yes, my name is Dimitri Denard. How you doing?
We're doing well.
All right, and my thing was also, like the gentleman before me, I had asked Christopher's attorney when it first started, how about getting a separate trial from him
mm-hmm.
because the other guy had a murder beef that he was facing separate from this one, and, you know, hands down, you know, he did it, right? So they
mm-hmm.
have Christopher and his. They have Christopher sitting next to him, although nothing's directed at Christopher. They sitting together during him getting found guilty of shooting somebody else, and then they bring Christopher's case in, so it's like guilt by association.
Correct.
Because he's
yeah,
sitting right there
that.
Watching
that's
him get
sounds
sitting,
like
he's sitting right next to him, you know, and they mm-hmm. pretty much attributed it because he's a gang member, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that alleged gang member, you know, that they had to be together and all this stuff, but
mm-hmm.
kind of funny, there was a white guy yesterday that they were talking about his mom posted a $5 million bail to get him out of jail the day that he got involved in a drive-by, and he was the driver of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the two juveniles did the shooting, and the two juveniles are testifying that he told us to shoot. Somehow he got a separate trial and was able to disconnect himself from the juveniles who turned state's evidence on him and beat his case before they could even get come up to trial for their case. He just beat his trial before them, and it just goes to show you the disparity when you have money, how money can move the judicial system in your favor and everything. I've never heard of a driver in a drive-by shooting getting acquitted when he was in the car with the people simply by saying, "I didn't know they were going to shoot." And it's your car, you're the driver, and you got two minors in the car, and they did the shooting. You're not even in jail for contributing to the delinquency of a minor or anything like that at all. You totally beat the whole case, and that's what's so unfortunate, you know, when I look at all the other things. It's like that disparity, like, hit, and it's like, wow, you know, and the guys on TV.
And you know what? And the sad part about it is, and like I said, even when we talk about other states, like the Stand Your Ground law, there's a lot of things. There is a lot of disjustice, unfairness within the criminal justice system. And we're seeing it far too much with people getting off, like I said before, when they know that they've done it, getting lesser sentences. And it's not fair. It's like when they used to do the Turnbull file when he said it ain't right. And we do need to do something about that. Okay, let me log on the next caller. And the phone number ends in 3091. Is there anything you would like to share as it relates to this topic? Okay, they don't want to say anything. Okay, now, when we start talking about, and I'm hearing a lot of information as it relates to this case, Crystal, and I pray that someone, an attorney, or somebody do step in that will be able to come in. And, I mean, I know, like you said, with the rally, you said that you know what the sentence is going to be. But you know what? Sometimes we got to trust God, and we got to see how this go down and see what happens. And then after you get that, you just stand tall, you stand firm, and you take the next step. You continue to support your son and be there for him. Because as I indicated yesterday, there are some things in regards to the California Innocence Project in regards to when in the state of California, when an individual has been wrongfully convicted. There's also within some of the law schools, they have law students that take cases on and investigate information to try to help individuals that are wrongfully convicted. They have the ACLU, which is another. And sometimes it does take time. But that's the only thing you can do, and you do your best, and you start writing these letters. Anybody have anything that they want to say? Because I know we're 25 minutes into the show. If you're on where you clicked on to Facebook and you are logged on that way, if you want to call in, if you have some information you want to share, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. As we are talking about, is justice really for all? Because when we start talking about justice, it's like, okay, what do that mean? Do the punishment fit the crime? Do we, when we start talking about the three strikes law, we start talking about giving individuals, you know, the gang injunctions and all of these harsh sentencing, a lot of individuals don't even understand what that means. Also, when they start talking about taking these deals, let me log on. I have another caller just called in. And the number ends in 6941. Is it something you want to share? Okay, 6941.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You want to add, you want to say?
Yes, I have a question. My question is, what do you do?
I didn't hear you.
What do you do when you have the jurors sleeping on the case?
When you see that the jury is sleeping on the case, all of those things are basically grounds for a mistrial when you are basically either at the sentence attorney, whoever is representative, can file a motion to dismiss based on insufficient evidence. They can do a lot of different things. And those are things you want to put together when you're doing your appeal, because if the juror is falling asleep, that means the juror is not paying attention. And then you also want to look at how long did they take in order to reach a verdict. So there's a lot of things that are taken into consideration. Also, what were the jury instructions? those are also mitigating factors. That all of these things can be used during an appeal. Now, the judge normally will not intervene when he sees anything because his role is to referee what's going on in the courtroom. But when it comes to the sentencing, that's where he has the ability to either speak up or say something. And you're looking at a sentencing range where some individuals can get the low end, they can get the middle, or they can get the high end. That's when they're making those decisions based on also a probation report. So there's a lot of things that go into what happens during the sentencing phase. Now, let me log on the next caller. Is there another question?
No, I was going to speak on the amount of time that they took to deliberate. They went in half day after lunch that Tuesday. They had a break for the 4th of July. They came back that Thursday. They did all day Thursday. The attorney called me, stated that they were requesting additional videos that was already shown regarding Christopher, and then they asked for some more information as it pertains to Christopher. And he actually showed me the stuff that they asked for and everything. So at that point, and then Friday is when they came back with the verdict. He called me at 11 o'clock. I work in San Bernardino. He said that, can you get here by 11:45? The judge wants to read the verdict before lunch. And I said, it's impossible, but I will reach out to my family that can get there before 11:45. And then another thing I want to point out is because it only has taken 2 weeks for them to bring Christopher back for sentence, and then 2 weeks after this alleged sentencing, they want to send him to prison already. Like, there's people that have been in county jail waiting to come back to be sentenced. And his case is just 2 weeks, and now you just want to bring him back? It's just, everything about this has been rushed.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Crystal. And these are things that whoever is representing him, the attorney can talk to the judge about that because they can look to make sure that there's, you know, accommodations based on, you know, a lot of different things can be taken into effect because they are keeping individuals in county jail much longer than what they used to, because before it used to be you can only be in county jail for up to a year. But with a lot of things that has happened with the prison reform and things of that nature, things have changed. They have definitely changed. Now, let me log on to the next caller, number ending in 8690. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Okay, I guess they don't want to say anything. Now, Crystal, has his attorney, have you brought up the fact that you wanted to know or find out if he could stay in the county jail longer? Yes, hi. Number ending 8690, is there something you want to say in regards to this topic?
Hi, this is, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you.
Hi, this is Penny Polidor, and I just want to say that I'm just supporting Crystal in every way, and anyhow, I've been there since day one, and it's a lot of stuff that I'm not going to speak on, but there needs to be a lot of justice with this, and we all love him. And we all need to support this, and we all need to make this worldwide. We need to get it out. I've been doing research on my own, you know, to go to people that really deal with this type of case that take on. And I've been trying to contact, you know, the sources like that to get some kind of help, to get somebody to really hear this. To you know, we really need help. We really need to get this out here. You know, and not send somebody that's innocent to jail for something they didn't do. You know,
correct.
I just, I really don't want to speak on too much, but I just want to let her know that I love her. I'm here through it all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking up some stuff, and this is, I don't know where this law firm is basically at, but they do have a number where you can call for consultation, and it says, what are the murder laws
right.
in California under Penal Code 187? And they have, whether it was accidental or premeditated, but you're talking about letting an innocent man go free. And the number
right.
to call, looks like an Orange County number for a free consultation. It is 714-587-5749. And there are a law firm with basically 25
years. Can you repeat that number again?
Hold on a second. Can you please
714.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the number is 714-587-5749. And they're basically, it says, are you in need of a murder attorney in California? So they are one of the law firms that, it looks like it must be in Orange County because it's a 714 number. I don't see an
no.
address here. But they are one that basically helping these cases. I don't know, Crystal, I reached out to the other young lady. I don't know if she's back from her vacation, but I know that she said that her attorney friend specializes in murder cases too. So I'll see what mm-hmm. I can do on my end because I'm pretty much more connected more in Orange County since I'm connected with the criminal justice system out here in the court system. Because I'm not in Compton or L.A., even though I grew up in Compton and L.A., but most of the work that I do is more in Orange County, Riverside County, and San Diego County. So if you have to
yeah.
use my name in Orange County, you can just tell them you know Jeanette Abney because many of them know who I am. Okay?
Got it. Also, if there's any churches or organizations that may be listening and that would like to join in on Thursday regarding the prayer, unity, peace rally, please do so. And
did you contact Love and Unity Church on Wilmington?
Oh,
did
well,
you contact
you're searching
them?
For your mom, sir. No, I'm not really familiar with a lot of churches in Compton, LA area.
Gotcha. His name is Pastor Ron Hill, and he's with Love and Unity. There's also
Ron Hill.
I believe it's called Ron Hill. Yes, Ronald Hill. It's right there off of Wilmington and the 91 freeway. They have a big mega church. I also
yeah.
have a young lady that I went to school with. I know her last name has changed. Her name is Sonia Wiggins. I don't know if you remember her, but she grew up in Foodtown. She's around my age. Her husband is a pastor. So I'll see if I can get in touch with Sonia and see what she or her husband, because he is a pastor. In the area, also Tracy Green. Tracy Green churches on Wilmington. Crossing, what is it called? Crossing Jordan. She's right there on Wilmington off of by Tubman, where the school Tubman used to be.
Okay.
So those are some of the pastors and preachers that I know of that are in your area, or in the area in Compton.
Okay.
So what I can do tomorrow, I'll call Tracy tomorrow and see what she can do because she do have a church out there. Because she's right there off of Wilmington.
Okay.
Any of the callers also, is there anything else anybody else want to say? Okay. All right, Crystal, it seems like we're kind of quiet right about now. Now, when we start talking about, like I said, trying to make sure that we talk about getting a fair trial, getting and find out. Now, I don't want to go, like I said, into details of what the attorney is telling you. It does sound like there's basically two defendants two individuals involved in this case, and I don't know the details of what the sentence is for the other person or who the other person is because it sounds like there is a lot going on. And it both basically is declaring his innocence, and he's going to have to be he's going to have to be careful, too, because with two people being involved, there's a lot of things that's going to be going on, going down. But, you know, like I said, the support, talking to him, letting him know that you're there,
And, you know, you indicated some things when we were on the show yesterday of some of the things that he's doing while he's in jail. Can you share with the listeners some of the things that he's doing as far as helping other inmates, showing his character, so that they'll know that this is just not a person that would just go out and do these things? Share with the listeners some of the things that he's doing now.
Since he's been incarcerated since February 2017, he has been a positive role model with other inmates and youngsters that have came through the Wayside County Jail. And even though he's in high maximum security, I believe that's what it's called, supermax or whatever, the highest one when you do a murder crime.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in that, and so he's been a positive influence and role model. He even though, I mean, Christopher's external looks like, oh my God, he's big, he's 6'2" or what have you, but he's like his face and everything is not a mean person. He's been in church. Since he's been in there, they go to some type of prayer thing. He's telling me every night he goes there. And today when I spoke with him, I was telling him, you know, all the things that took place on yesterday's show. And he was like, yeah, Mom, you know, I'm asking God to, you know, be in the midst of the show and everything that's going on. And, you know, the first day he said, you know, Mom, it's hard for me to trust God right now. And I said, I get it, you know, because this whole way I've been telling him, trust God, God has the last word, God has the last word. And when it came back a guilty verdict, it was very crushing.
But
listen, if I can be transparent, because I understand God, hear me.
Mm-hmm.
I know God. I have a relationship with God. I have a prayer life. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But my emotional human side, I'm speaking from that side. And like I told him, once I dry my tears and I get up from here, I am going to fight for you. But right now, as your mommy, I feel you. And that's how I had to come at him. So I don't want to be so spiritual that I can't come down here and feel him in his pain. And so that's the way I had to address it. And so he's back on the plane with me, and we on the plane together as far as our faith is concerned. So.
And you got to also let him know, too, because when you're under attack like that, that's when you need a higher power. You need someone to be able to speak into the hearts of these individuals, to be able to change these things by educating them. You know, because, I mean, we're not going to make it a spiritual show, because I already did that today at 11:30 this morning when I did the pitfalls of being a Christian, and one of the pitfalls is being under attack. And, you know, we do get like that from time to time, especially when we're talking about our kids and our maternal instincts kick in. But, you know, they say that don't feel us make us stronger. And like I said, I remember when my mother-in-law, Ms. Zeddy, was crying and wondering, why did they do this to my only son? Why did they? And, I mean, I watched that woman just cry and cry and cry. And it was sad that she wasn't alive when her son was released. But to do 25 years, and then I'm talking to these people, paying money to do this and running around doing that. And the whole thing was they knew they were going to overturn his conviction, but they wanted to do it when they was ready to do it. You know, and that's the sad part about it, and how they take a lot of individuals of color and ruin their lives like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's crazy, but something definitely got to be done when we're talking about educating individuals and also changing people's perception. Just because you grew up in Compton, there's a lot of good things that came out of Compton. So we can't label, we can't stereotype, we can't do that. We have to work on that.
Can you guys please mute your phone if you've already spoken?
Okay, we're hearing a lot of background noise. Is there anyone that want to share something with Crystal before we move on in the show and providing more information? Yes.
I would like to share something.
Bobby Relaford. Okay, I was on earlier, and I was interrupted by the noise because I was out taking care of some business. But I have a lot of time in my days, and I just want everybody to really focus on, as far as being an ex-gang member myself, the vindiction of prosecution got me a lot of times and got me a life sentence, and I came up from under it because of the simple fact that you have to really have those concrete evidence. And I don't care what nobody see or say or thinks. Those concrete evidence got to be, they got to show. If Christopher don't make it through this law, of course, he's going to definitely get through because those are part of the constitutional rights and they have to uplift that. And I, everybody need to focus on that vindictive prosecution along with that suppression because those two collide together. Those two collide together in the game.
Bobby, I'm sorry. Bobby, can you slow down? What's the name of it?
It's called vindictive prosecution, and it also falls upon the jury misconduct, too, where juries are falling asleep. All that misconduct is automatic grounds for a new trial. That's automatic grounds. You got to have a straight jury, and that jury foreman can get booked for that jury misconduct. And that also falls under vindictive prosecution because the prosecution goes in there at those juries. You know, and this does look like a profile case where they profiled him because he was nothing of what they said he was, you know, and he does not even fit the description. So that vindiction will really stick, and especially if you got some high power profile lawyers behind him, if that money can get raised and get some good lawyers, you're going to put that out there because those three right there collide with each other. I can see that case going somewhere with the vindictive prosecution, along with the ineffective system counseling, with the jury misconduct. Those three grounds right there, those are winners in my eyes.
Correct.
And I just want to share that.
Correct. And you know what? And those that would have to be brought up, and the attorney or whoever is representing him would have to basically provide that information because I'm going to give you some information as it relates to what he was just indicating in regards to the prosecutorial vindictiveness law and legal definition. And what it basically means is defined as a vengeful prosecution for the recovery to damage persons' property of reputation shown to have approximately resulted from a previous civil or criminal proceeding which commenced or continued without probable cause, but with vengeance, which has terminated successfully. And that's basically a case law that had occurred. Now, when you talk about all these things, and like I said, you don't want to overwhelm them with a lot of information, but when you start talking about a criminal case versus a civil case and a murder case, a lot of times there are a lot of information that should be brought into play. And I heard Crystal talking about, they were talking about videos and tapes and, you know, all of this stuff. So making sure you also, Crystal, when he gets his information, that he's either giving it to you, putting it somewhere, because stuff come up missing sometime too. So you want to make sure you have all of that so when you bring in and you're presenting all that information. Now, I have another call coming in. Let me log this person on. Call ending in 6783. Is there something you want to add to the show? 6783? Okay, so they're not seeing anything. I will, because I hear background noise. Okay, Crystal, we got 5 minutes left into the show. And here's, I guess, we got 5 minutes left on the show. And we provided a lot of different information than what we talked about last night because we didn't want to be redundant. But I do want you to share with them again the location, where they can meet you, where the people rally is going to be, because, like I said, there's unity in numbers. It sounds like there have definitely been some headway in regards to the support. And like I said, these calls and numbers are ringing off the hook. Do you have a GoFundMe set up? What do you have that you want the listeners out there to know, those that are not on the air, so that they can contact you and offer their support, whether it's financial, in prayer, whatever it may be? How can they reach you, and where is the Peaceful Rally going to be?
Okay, first off, the Peaceful Rally is going to be at Compton Courthouse, located in the courtyard, more so towards the mayor's office. The address is 200 West Compton Boulevard, Compton, California. This will take place July the 26th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
most likely Christopher is going to see the judge around 9 o'clock, and that's when we will put forth the motion to waive his sentencing, to push it back in order to try to raise a little bit, not a little bit, to try to raise money. Also, Christopher has a GoFundMe and a website. It's Justice for Stone. He has requested that if people could write him, he would appreciate that as well, just in this process. Also, the and basically what the rally is going to entail is prayer, just coming together in unity. And if anybody wants to speak, I do have some statistics. His story is also on the website. My email address is Crystal, C-H-R-I-S-T-A-L, dot Sterling, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, the number 1, at yahoo.com. My cell is 909-910-2546. Either one of those avenues, you can reach me. Also, I know that there's people that are very educated and like to write and know how to write to some of these places. If you can reach out to me and help me in that aspect as far as a correct letter to send, a proper letter to send out. And that's what I
if you wanna write it, Crystal, and because I don't know the details of the case, but if you wanna do that, let me know, because I can normally come to Compton on the weekends, and or either you can email it to me. I don't know, you know, and because I owe Sean a lunch or a dinner. So let me know, because that is one of my stronger points in regards to writing letters, and I don't mind helping with that. But I just let me know the details, because I'm coming from a point where I don't know all the facts, so I don't want to misspeak. So I would rather refer them to you to know the details of what's going on. But I will proofread and give you some thoughts of putting words and stuff together to get people to pay attention and to, you know that it's not based on emotions, but based more on facts.
And I will be getting the total transcripts and the minutes and stuff from the prelim on Thursday.
Correct. And just definitely keep up with the records. Keep up with the records. Now, we have 50 seconds left on the show. Chris, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners?
I will be updating my Facebook daily with some type of information just to help other mothers and stuff that are experiencing or have experienced the same thing. Just daily statistics, daily information, daily resources, and phone numbers to build this this circle of unity and to have this movement continue to go forth.
And then there's a fundraiser
coming up as well.
Gotcha. Where's the fundraiser going to be? You haven't started it yet?
We have the T-shirts will be selling the day of the court, and then there will be a bus trip coming up, and I have buttons and keychains as well for the that says Justice for Stone, and there's something else I can't think right now. But it's going to be on my page and on the website, the Justice for Stone. Everything will be posted. Christopher's address to write him is also posted on there, and the website for the GoFundMe. I want to thank Linda Smith. She has really been helping as far as this documentation goes and resources and pulling, and Christina. They've really been, because I do work 9 to 5, and so it's hard for me. And so they really have my cousin and my mom, you know, putting together these fundraisers. So in any capacity, these young people, again, my hat's off to them. I thank them so much.
Gotcha. Okay, well, we ran out of time, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we're talking about is justice really for all? And, I mean, this is something that has hit many individuals on many different levels, whether their kids was convicted or arrested for murder charges, drug charges, assault charges. I mean, it's really out of control, and we need to make sure that if we're going to be talking about justice, it do need to be fair. And basically by being consistent, because the sentencing scale and what's happening in the United States is out of control, and there is power in numbers. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, and you guys have a good evening. Good night.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. God bless you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.